Now we're holding on page Aleph in Yerushalmi Shabbos, in the middle of Os Beis, about halfway through that paragraph. We started learning. The Mishnah had said that there are three mitzvahs of women. If they're not careful with them, then Rachman al Tzlan Mesis v'shas le'dasa, and they can pass away during childbirth as a result of that. And the Gemara had brought the point, which the Bavli also brings on this Mishnah, the concept of a satan makatrik v'shas sakana, that when a person is as it is in a dangerous situation, then the satan has his ability, has his chance to go and accuse the person. We talked about yesterday. Hakosev talks at some length over here the idea that when a person is in a dangerous situation is when Hashem is sitting in judgment on him, and therefore that, and since at the time of judgment you're going to have the prosecuting and the defending malachim, so therefore so the satan has his opportunity. So we brought one pasuk that shows that point, where we see that the Urim v'Tumim is called a mishpat. Why? Because the idea is, when do they consult the Urim v'Tumim? Is when they're going to war, for example, and at that time then there's a mishpat, there's a judgment going on in Shemayim, what's going to be the outcome of it. So the Gemara continues with some other examples. Amar Pachir Bar Ba, Ksiv, the pasuk says, Ki seitze machna al oyvecha, when you go out in an army camp against your enemies, then you should be careful and guard yourself from every bad thing, which it has a number of meanings. It means that you have to be careful, a person has to be careful to not have hirhurim, as the Gemara elsewhere learns out the idea that you shouldn't have thoughts during the day, they're going to lead him to become a Valkyrie at night, etc. But the question is, what do you mean only when you're going out to war? And what if a person is not going out to war, then he doesn't need to guard himself from anything bad? So there also we learn that the Satan accuses only at a time of danger. Same idea, in other words, that So Dafka, at a time like that, is when a person has to be more careful than he otherwise would be about staying away from any davar ra that could cause the satan to be able to accuse him. Eitz Yosef also adds a point that the word davar ra also means dibur ra. It also means a bad thing to say, and that includes also the idea of al tiftach pel satan. In general, a yid has to be careful not to speak in a way that gives a satan an opening to say, look at that, the guy is saying that he deserves such and such or whatever. So that's also included, especially at a time, kisei tzemachne, is a time a person has to be careful with that kind of speech. Another one, Amar Rav Achoy bar Yaakov, here's another one, ksiv karohu osen baderech. Yaakov is worried about if you take along Binyamin to Mitzrayim, then an accident or something deadly may happen on the way. Again, Hoba Bayis Loi, what is it? Wouldn't it be equally possible for something dangerous to happen at home? The expression the Gemara has in some places, Malachamavis, Malihocho, Malihosam. The Malachamavis can easily get a person here as there. And on top of that, Eitz Yosef points out, bringing from Korban Eda, one of the standard Mephoshim on the Yerushalmi, that says that when Yaakov is saying penyukrenu osoin, the word osoin suggests a natural death. So we're not talking about, for example, if there might be a car accident or whatever the equivalent would have been out in those days, where you could say, yes, that's more likely on the road. We're talking about that he might die a natural death. Well, in that case, that could equally well happen at home. Again, Elavikan, Shayna Sutton, and Makapri, Galabashasa Sakana, again, being on the road is inherently dangerous, and therefore that's when the Sutton has more of an opportunity to accuse, and therefore Yaakov is more worried about it under those circumstances. Okay. Next, Rabbisna B'Shem Rav Loya Ksiv, Rabbisna B'Shem Rav Loya says, here's another pasuk that illustrates this idea, this time from Nevi'im. You have the whole story over there, it's in Malachim, it's in Yeshaya, where Sancheirav and his army are besieging Yerushalayim, and they're on the verge of conquering it, and what's going to happen, and meanwhile he sent Rav Shakeh and other officials of his to hurl insults at Hashem, and to say that Chizkiyahu can't save you, and even Hashem can't save you, etc., etc. So Chizkiyahu sends messengers to Yeshaya, And he has them tell Yeshaya to daven for them, and he says, Yom Tzara v'Sechecho n'otza hayom hazeh. Today is a day of trouble and of rebuke. Tochacha also means, besides, it means rebuke, like in the Tochacha, it also means proving, like on the face of it, Sancheirev seems to prove his point. Yeah, he was able to overpower all kinds of powerful Goyish kingdoms, so yeah, maybe he has a point that he might be able to do the same to us. Un'otza, and a blasphemy, which is the way they're talking about Hashem, hayom hazeh is today. So what, Hayom Acher Loi, and on another day is not a day of Tzora and Techecha? Why are they saying Hayom Azeh? El Mekan, Shein Asotin, Mekatri, Gela B'Shasas HaKona. Same thing, because this time is a particular time of danger, because we're in danger from Sancheirev, then therefore we're saying that it's a particularly dangerous time, and the Sotin can be Mekatri against us, so therefore Yeshaya, please daven on our behalf. Eitz Yosef points out the end of the pasuk continues. They continue saying in Chizkiyahu's name, Kivol Bonim Ad Mashber. It's like metaphorically, the children have come to the birth stool, the koyach ayin leleda, and there's no strength to give birth. In other words, they're comparing the whole situation. It's like when a woman is in labor and she's about to give birth, but the baby won't come out. In the same way, we're saying we're in terrible trouble over here. But the point is, so in other words, so that's the thing. Just like in the Mishnah, we said that a woman is in childbirth is a time of danger. And therefore she needs extra schusim, the same way over here. They're saying we Jewish people collectively are like in that situation, and therefore we need the extra schusim to counteract the sun. Another one, Rabbi Aibu Bar Nagri says, here's another one. Steve, here's a pasuk from Tilim. B'hishofta yetzei rosha. The pasuk says that David HaMelech is davening about certain Rishoyim, in particular his enemies who were constantly trying to get him killed and everything. So the expression in the pasuk is, when he's judged, may he come out as a Rosha, as guilty. Now, Yetzei Tzadik, in Ksiv Kan, Elabi Shofta Yetzei Rosha. It doesn't say he will come out a Tzadik, but rather it says he'll come out a Rosha. So what does that mean? Elabi Kanchen Asotim Patrick Elabi Shasa Sakona. Now, here, Mephoshim have a big question with that. The fact is, of course he's talking about he wants the guy to be declared a Rosha by the Beis Din Shomailo, or even by Beis Din on Earth. What's even the Hava, meaning that he would say, Bishopta Yetzit Tzadik, such that Rabbi Aibu Bar Nagri is saying, no, it says Bishopta Yetzit Rosha, and therefore teaches us this concept. So in fact, Pnei Moshe on the Yerushalmi, another one of the standard Mephoshim on the Yerushalmi, so it changes the Girsa and says, evidently, the Girsa is supposed to be that Al Yetzei Tzadik. In other words, you would expect David at least to use the positive form to say that to use the word Tzadik rather than Rosha, and to say he shouldn't come out of Tzadik, he shouldn't come out exonerated. Instead, when he says Yetzei Rosha, then we understand when he's being judged, which is a Rashas Rakana, then it's more likely that he's going to come out as a Rosha. On the other hand, there are different other explanations that Mephoshim have. Hakosev explains that what it is, given that in all the psukim before that, David is talking about the Rosha, so why does he even need to say, the Shofta Yetzei Rosha, in other words, the idea is, if he's being taken to Beis Din in the first place, then that means you don't need a Beis Din to say that he's a Rosha. We know already he's a Rosha. So therefore, the Pasuk should say that what would you need to take him to Beis Din for? Maybe conceivably he could be exonerated. Maybe conceivably Beis Din might find that after all he's a Tzaddik. And instead, he's saying Vishokta Yetzei Rosha, implying that he's going to come out as a Rosha. But we already know he's a Rosha, so what is that in that case? What is the judgment adding? And the point is that even if we didn't know before that he was a Rosha, just to be his Shofta is reason enough that Yetzei Rosha, because Hasotin Mekatrig B'Shasas HaKona. And then another point is, Eitz Yosef makes another point as well, that what he should say is that we're saying that he should say that Bishofta Yetzei Tzadik, in other words, let the Tzadik go out. In other words, here you have, where anytime there's an investigation, again, you're going to have a defender and an accuser, so let the defender go out and not be able to find anything to defend him, Yetzei Tzadik, and then all that's going to be left is the accuser and find him guilty. And the fact that he says Yetzei Rosha implies, it almost sounds like the other way around. The Rosha, the one who wants to declare him a Rosha will go out. Well, what does that mean? They're going to find him innocent? No, on the contrary, it means he will go out as a Rosha because he'll have been found guilty because of Satan Makatik Rishasas HaKonim. Okay. Here's another example, not from a pasuk, but from practical day-to-day life. Omer Abba Bar Bina, Neser Shul Masroch Migag Lagag. If you have a board that extends from one roof to the other, Afilu Roch of Amma, even if that board is an Amma wide, so you would think it's plenty wide enough to be able to walk on, you're not likely to fall off. Also, Lahalachalav, you're not allowed to walk on such a board. Lama, why? Elamikan, Chaina Sartip Katrin, Elabashas Sakana, because in a time of danger, the Sutton can accuse him, and therefore, even though on the face of it, the board is wide enough, Eitz Yosef brings a girsa as well, that the girsa should be roch of kama, even if it's very wide. Same thing, nevertheless, inherently walking on a board from one roof to another, many feet above the ground, is inherently a dangerous thing, and therefore a person has to stay away from that. The Bavli, by the way, mentions in a similar vein that when a person is crossing a bridge is an example of Shasa Takana. Now, we're not talking about the Brooklyn Bridge or something, which are solidly built. We're talking about the kind of bridges that they had back then, which are made of wooden planks, and at any time it could collapse or whatever. So, yeah. Similarly, Rav Omer Hayoshev Bayis Merua. Similarly, if a person sits in a shaky house, which is liable to collapse any moment, then he makes the Malach HaMavis be his creditor. Dinistis is a Greek word that means somebody to whom you owe money. So in other words, again, like the Sutton now acts, the Malach HaMavis acts like his creditor, like he's saying almost like, this guy owes me one, namely that I have the right to go and take whatever it is from him, namely his life. And we see that, dichtiv, as you have a pasuk, yashi moves aleimer. In Tillim, David HaMelech is talking about his enemies, in particular in the Psukim. Before that, he's talking about Achitofel, who was trying to get him killed. And so he says on them, yashi moves aleimer, may Hashem yashi death on them. Now on the pasuk, Rashi explains that yashi can be a lotion of incitement, that Hashem should incite the Malach HaMavis against him. A few of the other Mephoshim explain it along the lines that the Gemara is over here, that it means that he'll make, like the Malach HaMavis will be their creditor. So, K'mod HaTemar, as we find, the same Shodesh, Yashi, is used of a creditor, Kisasha Vereacha Mashas Moma, when a fellow Yid owes you money. When you're a creditor against a fellow Yid. So the same way, Yashi Mavis Aleim means Hashem will make the Malach HaMavis a creditor against such a person because he put himself in a dangerous situation. And, So Eitz Yosef points out, because the pasuk continues, Ki rois b'megurim b'kirbam. Now, literally, that means because they have evil where they dwell and inside them. In other words, Poshet Shat is, in other words, why do they deserve that punishment? Is because they're evil inside and out. But here we're darshaning that rois meloshin ra'ua, as in shaky, and b'megurim, their houses, because their houses are shaky, therefore, the Sutton has an opportunity to act as a creditor and say that they deserve to lose their life because of that, Rahman al-Islam. Hakosev goes into further detail about it. He points out that the psukim before that are talking about that here Achitofel acted like such a friend to David all these years, and even as we have in Pirkei Avos, that David HaMelech learned two concepts in Torah from him and called them Rabbi Alufim Yudai, and we were sitting together in the Beis Medrash and Beis Alekim Nahalach Berogish, and here Achitofel chooses to instead leave that and then join up with Rishoyim such as Avshalom. So therefore, that's the equivalent of leaving a solidly built house and going into a shaky a house that's liable to collapse any moment. So therefore, David is saying, Yashi Mavis Aleim, that they deserve to be treated like when a person does that, goes into a shaky house where he should lose his life because of that. Okay, now the Mishnah had said, what are the three things for which Noshim Mesis V'Shasle Dosim, which led us into this whole discussion about Sutton Makatik V'Shasle Sakana. So the three mitzvahs specifically, Al She'en and Zahiris Benida, Uvachala, Uvadlokas Haner. Those are the three special mitzvahs of women, and therefore, so when they're careless with that, then that can result in this. So the Gemara explains, why did Hashem give these three mitzvahs Davka to women? Odomirishim Domei Shal Olam. Adam HaRishon was the blood of the world, like the blood is Ki Adam Hu HaNefesh, the same way Adam HaRishon is like the blood and the life force of the world. In particular, Eitz Yosef points out, brings from Korban Eder, we find that Rashi brings it on the Psukim, there was no rain even until Adam HaRishon was born. All Hashem, all there was a mist to wet the earth a little bit, but not a proper rain until Adam HaRishon was created and understood the need for rain, and he davened for it, and then rain fell. So we see that Adam was the lifeblood of the world. So, as the pasuk says, a mist came up from the earth, and then only afterwards did it rain properly. So the Gomel is Chava Misa. Meanwhile, Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas and gave it to him, and that caused him to die. L'fichach Masru Mitzvah Nidah Le'isha. Therefore, corresponding to that, the Mitzvah of Nidah was given to women where they took away the blood, the lifeblood of the world, and therefore they have a mitzvah specifically involving blood. Akosif brings a long explanation over here that also the Gemara is going to complain. The next thing the Gemara is going to complain, compare Odomerishin to, is like the challah of the world. And how do you make challah? How do you make dough? Is you mix flour and water together in the same way Hashem had to, so to speak, had to make the earth wet in order to knead it together as clay and make Odomerishin. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is bringing, the Eid Yalam in Aretz, to represent that was the first stage of Hashem creating Odom. So next, over challah, so now, what about why is challah a mitzvah specially given over to women? Odomerishin challah tahor l'olam hoya. Odomerishin was the pure challah of the world. In the sense that, again, like the challah is the choice part that's given to the kohen, and Odomerishin is mivchar ha'itzurim, is the most choicest of all the creatures that Hashem created. In fact, the way that he was created by Ofer Min Ha'adama is similar to the way you make dough by kneading flour and water together. So he was the challah of the world. By Yitzhak Hashem Alekim as Adam Ofer Min Ha'adama, Hashem created him from dust. So therefore, Vasya Kiyo Demar Reb Yosi Bakatsarta. Vasya is like Vasya in Babli Aramaic, and this goes like Kia, meaning Kiha, as we would have in Babli Aramaic, like this, Demar, or Omar, it would usually be, Rav Yosi Bakatsauta. So this fits with what Rav Yosi Bakatsauta explains, Kibin Sho Ishma Chashkeshes, Isos Bamayim, when a woman is making dough, as soon as she blends the flour together with the water, Himag Bas Chalosa, then right away she takes out the challah. So in other words, we're saying that the same way as when she makes dough and mixes the water in, then right away she takes challah, the same way, as soon as Hashem wetted the earth with the Eid Yalam and Aretz, then right away Hashem created Adam. So in that sense, the creation of Adam parallels the way that a woman makes dough and takes challah right away. Akosif brings over here in greater detail the word makashkeses can also mean to make a noise, because like when you're mixing dough together, like your arms, your elbows bang one against the other as you're busy kneading it. In fact, he points out the word challah over here can have a double meaning. It can mean the dough in general, and it can mean the specific portion of challah that you take out for the kohen. Anyway, again, the gomel is chava misa. So again, Adam is like the challah of the world, the special thing of the world. And Chava caused him to die. But the Chatei Tadas, L'fichach Matzru, Mitzvah Chala Le'isha. Therefore, the Mitzvah of Chala was given to women to be misaken. Eitz Yosef and Akosif both deal with the detail with all of this that the Gemara is saying. It comes out basically that because Chava did something wrong, therefore she gets extra mitzvahs. What's the logic? How does Loyeh Choyte Nisker? It's not right on the face of it that because she did something wrong, therefore she and her descendants get extra mitzvahs. So Eitz Yosef points out that, on the other hand, you know, when it's from Yifei Toyar on the Medrash, that on the contrary, actually what it means is, since we're saying in the Mishnah that these are mitzvahs that if women are careless in, then it can cause serious consequences for them. So therefore, on the contrary, it can be a good thing for them to have the schus of these mitzvahs, but on the other hand, it also creates a great danger for them. And in that sense, that part is connected the fact of the Chetei Tadas. And then Hakosev goes and gives a long moshel on the subject, the gist of it being that, yes, since she did wrong with these things, then therefore she herself needs to, she and her descendants need to do the tikkun using these very same things. The third one, Odomerishin Domei Shel Olam Hoya. Odomerishin also, again, another way of looking at it was that Odom was the blood of the world, like we said before, but in a different sense. Ahu dichtiv shoytach dama Odom begomer, as the pasuk says, the one who spills man's blood, ba Odom dama yishafeth, and through man, then his blood will be spilled. So again, so we see that it says shoytach dam ha Odom, so it means not just Odom as in mankind in general, but it means specifically that Odom, and Chava caused him so his blood to be spilled by causing that he's going to die, and therefore lefichach nimsur mitzvah nida leisha, and therefore the mitzvah of nida was given to a woman. And so that's chala and nida. Uvad lakas and ner. The vort is odemirishin neder shel olam haya. Odemirishin was the candle of the world because dichtei shenem and ner Hashem nishmas adam. As the pasuk says, the candle of Hashem is the neshama of a person. And again, nishmas adam. We don't just mean adam as humanity in general. We mean specifically odemirishin as well. And again, Chava caused him to die. It's true, of course, Eitz Yosef points out, the neshama doesn't die with the body. Nevertheless, the fact is that the purpose that a person was created is to have a neshama and a body here on earth, to make a dira b'tachtonim. So causing Adam to die is tantamount to extinguishing that candle. Lefichach masru mitzvah aner la'isha, therefore the mitzvah of the candles, of Shabbos candles, were given to the women. In fact, Eitz Yosef adds the detail. The end of that pasuk, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the end of that pasuk is Choifis Kochadrei Vatan. Hashem searches out all the innermost chambers of a person's insides. Literally, Betan means of the stomach. So it means, in other words, because of that mitzvah of Ner, as well as the other two, Hashem is searching thoroughly in Chadrei Vatan, in the innermost organs, and deciding, again, when a woman is pregnant and giving birth, how things are going to wind up as a result of that. So, Tony Rabbi Yossi, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yossi explains, Shlosha Divke Misahein, there are three things that cause women to be very close to death. In other words, that again, that during childbirth, they may be in danger of that because of failure to do these mitzvahs. Or shloshen nimsu leisha, and all three of them were given over to the women. Ve'elohen mitzvahs nidro, mitzvahs chalo, mitzvahs adlaka. And the flip side of it is those three bring her tremendous chosim. You actually have the Rebbe talked about a lot of times. The initials of them are Chana. And in fact, you have the Gemara in Brachas, the Bavli in Brachas, tells how Chana herself, the original Chana, Shmuel's mother, when she was davening for a child, she points out to Hashem, I've always been careful with these three mitzvahs, so that's one reason why I should have the right to ask for the schus that I should have a child. The Bavli, by the way, when it brings this Braisa about the Shlosha Divke Misa, the Braisa brings into the Bavli, brings another version of it, Shlosha Bidke Misa, not Divke with a Dalet and a Vase, but Bidke, first the Vase and the Dalet, which means times of investigation, or times when Hashem investigates, should this woman live, or Chas V'Shalom the opposite, and it has to do with these three mitzvahs. Okay. Perek Bameh Ishev Yotza. So the sixth parak of Shabbos deals with various dinim about what kinds of jewelry and accessories and things like that that people are allowed to wear outdoors on Shabbos. We dealt with it. A few days ago in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Some of those dinim. At the end of the parak, it talks about various things that people would wear as sgulos. These are things they would wear them for medicinal purposes. They're not known to. There's no medical reason that anybody can figure out why they work, but they're known to work. And so the Mishnah mentions that there's no issue of darchei hamodi. There's no issue of doing superstitious things involving those because any time there's refuah involved, then there's no problem of darchei hamodi. And that leads the Yerushalmi and the Bavli does the same thing to go into a bit of discussion about the ins and outs of nichush and darchei hamodi and all that. So the Yerushalmi over here brings a number of stories in that regard of people who realize that Nichush is wrong. Right before the piece over here that's in Yaakov, it brings a story of a guy who used to regularly deal with astrology and trying to foretell when are good times and when not. And one time after he becomes a ger, he's going to go on a trip and he starts thinking to himself, you know what, I should go figure out using my astrology whether it's a good idea. And then he realizes, wait a minute, the whole point I became a ger is to get away from such foolishness. So he goes on the trip, and he's in danger, and then he gets saved from it. So why was he in danger? Because to begin with, he had the thought of using Nichush, and then why did the Eibush just save him? Because he gave that up. So therefore, that brings us to the Gemara over here. Omer of Acha Bar Ze'ira, Kol Mi She'enim Nachash, anybody who does not do Nichush, who doesn't follow superstitions like that, his place, Lamaila, will be even further in, closer to Hashem than the Malachi Asharis. Umatam, why? What pasuk expresses that idea? Bilam says, he says that kilo nachash v'yakov, if you can say in the pasuk, there's no divination and magic and superstition and whatever among the Jewish people. And he continues, ka'es ye'omer l'yakov, at this time, there'll come a time that it will be said to Yaakov, l'Yisrael, ma po'al keil, what has Hashem done? What is Hashem doing? So in other words, we understand that what it means is the Malachi Ashoris are going to have to be asking the Jewish people, what is Hashem doing? Because since Kilo Nachash B'Yakov, they get to be on such a high level that even the Malachim don't know what's going on over there. And it's midya k'neged midya. You know, a person is saying that I don't believe in superstitions. I'm going to trust in Hashem alone, that He knows what's best for me, and He's going to make things work out the way it should. So therefore, he gets to have a higher degree of closeness to Hashem, even than the malachim who don't have that bechira chafshis in the first place. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Chanina, Brei de Rabbahu. What's this word ka'es? Like as of now. What does Bilam mean with that word? That Rosha, Bilam, was standing at the midpoint of world history when he was saying this. Matam, one, where do we get that? Because the pasuk says, Ka'es, Yom Yaakov, Yisrael, Ma'pa'al Keil, meaning, in other words, that another way of understanding that pasuk is that Bilam is saying there's going to come a time, Ka'es, in the amount of time equal to now, when there will be Nevuah again by the Jewish people. Now, when was this? So Akosim and Enyakov bring that they make the calculation that this took place in the year 2486 since creation. It was at the end of the 40 years in the desert, and you come out to that figure. So it means multiply that by two, you come out to the year 4972 since creation. So in other words, the Gemara is saying that in that year, Nevuah will return to the Jewish people. But Amma mentioned something very similar in Igeres Taman, after he's dealing with over there, he's dealing with the Jews of Taman. We're having terrible troubles with a false Mashiach and with rulers who are trying to force them to convert to Islam and so on and so forth. And so that Amma says, we know we're not supposed to calculate the Kitzim. The Gemara warns very strongly against that. However, I'm going to tell you something that I have the Kabbalah from my ancestors, that in that year, he actually gives a slightly different year, 4976, Nevuah will return to the Jewish people. Now, 800 years since then, on the face of it, that hasn't happened. On the other hand, the Rebbe points out in the letter that no, we actually do have, around that time, there were a number of Chachamim who had an unusual degree of Ruach HaKodesh. There was Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid and his father, Rabbeinu Shmuel, who were known to be unusual Bali Ruach HaKodesh. There was even one of the Bali HaTosfos from that period who was actually called Rabbi Ezra HaNovi. So there was actually a certain return of Nevuah to the Jewish people in that generation that the Rambam is describing, and that the Yerushalmi over here, according to the Mefoshim, is describing. The full outpouring of Nevuah is going to be more when Mashiach comes, whereas the Nevi'im say that even children are going to be saying Nevuah then. So the Gemara continues. More explanations on this pasuk. Amar Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Asida Baskol Lias Mefreis Tzetzes Ba'alei Tzadikim. In the future, there's going to be a Baskol announcing Mefreis Tzetzes, like making a loud noise in the tents of the Tzadikim, in the place where the Tzadikim live, Va'imerech, and saying, Misha Paul Im Kael, whoever acted with Hashem, meaning whoever acted in a way that Hashem wants, he learned Torah and did mitzvahs, so Yovav Yitol Schoroi, let him come and get his reward. How is that Poal Imkel? How is that that he's acting with Hashem? So Eitz Yosef points out two possibilities. It means because when he learns Torah and does mitzvahs, then it's as if he's creating worlds. So Hashem acted to create the world, and the tzaddikim also in that sense are acting like Hashem and accomplishing the same thing as well. Also, Shechina Imoy, so he's working with Hashem because Hashem is with him when he's being Oisek Vatorah. So again, the Pasuk, Ka'es the Yom Liyakov, Yisrael, Ma Po'al Kael, means Hashem is going to say, whoever it was, that Po'al Kael, who acted together with Hashem as far as Torah and Mitzvahs, then he deserves to have his reward. Another one, Rav Berechia b'shem Rav Abba b'Kahani, Osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasses, similar to the first explanation, Osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasses Mechitzasim Shal Tzadikim Lefnim Mechitzasim Shal Malachi Ashoris. In the future, Hashem is going to make the Mechitza, the reserved area for the Tzadikim, is going to be further in and closer to Hashem than the Malachi Ashoris. For Malachi Ashoris, Shor Lenoisim, Va'im Lahem, so the Malachi Ashoris are going to have to come to the Tzaddikim and ask them, Ma Po'al Kael, what is Hashem doing? Meaning, Ma Hoda Lachem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is Hashem teaching you? Because the Malachim are excluded from that inner circle. It's Yosef adds the same way as, for example, Moshe was on that level. The Malachim didn't know what Hashem taught personally to Moshe Rabbeinu. So in the same way, in the future, all Tzaddikim will be on that level as well. And Amar Rav Levi Bachayusa, the loy kvav kain also kain ba'olam hazeh. As a matter of fact, Rav Levi Bachayusa says, you know, don't just think this is something for the future. You should know there was already something like that in this world already, where malachim were subordinate to tzaddikim. Like this was saying, the tzaddikim are going to be lechnim mimchitzasen, and the malachim are going to be like secondary to them. And what is Hashem saying now? There was something like that already, where a malach had to act in a secondary role to tzaddikim. Namely, you have in the story of Hanani, Mishael, Azariah being thrown into the furnace. So the three of them are thrown in, and then Onni Nebuchadnezzar of Omar, and Nebuchadnezzar calls out and he says, I see four men, Shrayin, who are unbound because they had been tied with ropes or chains or whatever when they were thrown into the furnace. Here, all of a sudden, I see they're unbound. Mahlechin begoin nura. They're walking around in the fire. V'chavol isai behoin. And there's no injury. There's no harm that's been done to them. Now, where's the fourth? So we'll get to that in a minute. The point is the fourth is a malach, but we'll get to that first. The Gemara digresses a second. What does he mean with that statement that there's no injury to them? Now, if it just meant it on the face of it, it just means, in other words, that they weren't burnt by the fire. But earlier in the pasuk, it already says that the fire had not had any control, that the fire had not affected them at all. So now, why does it need to add? In fact, the pasuk even says there was no odor of fire even on them. A lot of, you know, something is in fire, at least it smells burnt. That didn't even happen to them. So why does the pasuk even need to add the words? There's no injury in them. It means when they were first brought to Nebuchadnezzar's palace, they were castrated. Goyish kings used to do that because they wanted the people who are working in the palace, the ministers and whatever, to be exclusively devoted to the service of the king and not have normal family lives. So Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah had that done to them. Now, as a result of their Mesiras Nefesh, then the Eibishter healed them from that and they went back to being functional, to having those organs functional again. So that the pasuk is saying by the Chavola Yisrael Bahoin, that even that injury that they had from that thing that had been done to them has gone away. The Bavli, by the way, in Sanhedrin has a machlokes about that, whether to begin with any such thing was done to them. The Gemara brings the Bavli brings an opinion that when they're called sarisim in the positive, it doesn't mean that they were castrated. It means the Gemara says over there, shenistarsa avodazara b'yameim, that avodazara was castrated in their times, in the sense that after this whole story with the fiery furnace, a lot fewer people were believing in avodazara anymore, because everybody could see very openly the power of Hashem. So that caused a tremendous weakening of everybody, of even the goyim's attachment to avodazara. Mefoshim also point out that sometimes the word soris in a posik anyway doesn't mean somebody who's castrated. It can just mean a high minister, a high ranking. It's just a term for a high ranking minister. But here, the Yerushalmi is taking it that it means they were actually castrated, but now Hashem healed them from that. Anyway, so Nebuchadnezzar again is describing what he's seeing from a distance going on in the fiery furnace. He says, I see four men in there. And he continues, and he says the appearance of the fourth one looks like Bara the Kin, looks like a Malach. So now, what do you mean the fourth one? If it's a Malach, shouldn't he be walking in front of them? So Dekadmesa, the Rebbe Dekadmesa in Ksivkan, the Pasuk doesn't say the appearance of the first one, which would imply that the Malach is walking first and Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah are walking behind him. Ela the Rebbe Di Revi Ah, he's saying the appearance of the fourth one. Meaning, they're stepping on and tamping down the fire ahead of the Malach. Now, the Gemara in Pesachim, the Bavli in Pesachim tells us that the Malach was none other than Gavriel, who was the Malach of fire. We learned in Pesachim that there was a whole argument going on in Shemayim. The Malach of hail offered to go down and use his hail to cool off the fire. And Gavriel tells him, I'll make the mess all the greater. I'll make the fire extra hot on the outside so it burns all the hostile goyim. And I'll make it cooler on the inside so Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah are safe. So now you would think he being the Malach of fire, he would be the one who's tamping down the fire and keeping it from harming them. No, on the contrary, they're walking first. They're the ones who are impervious to the fire. And he's just like along for the show, kind of. So we see that he's subordinate to them. Now, Nebuchadnezzar uses the expression "Domi Levara the King." He says that this fourth one looks like a son of God. What kind of expression is that? Omer of Reuben, Ba'isashah, Yod Malach, the Sotre, Lahu Rashia, Alpin. At that moment, when Nebuchadnezzar said that, a Malach came down and slapped him on the mouth. Omalei tells him, Takin Milach, correct your words. What kind of a saying is that? Uvar Islay, does Hashem have a son that you're saying the son of God? And you can imagine, you know, the Yerushalmi is written in Eretz Yisrael, which was ruled over by the Romans at that point, and soon enough they had a religion involving such a thing, so you can understand very easily why the Gemara is concerned that we shouldn't understand the pasuk that way. Chazar v'omar, so then Nebuchadnezzar, in fact, changed his tune. V'omar, he continues in the next pasuk, a few psukim later, is it Brich Elokahin di Shadrach Meshach Vaved Negoi? Blessed is the God of Shadrach Meshach and Aved Negoi, which are the Babylonian names that they were given when they were first brought to the palace, which throughout that parak they're called by those names. Di Shlach Brei Ein Tzidkan. Now, Nebuchadnezzar does not say that Hashem sent his son to help them. Ela di Shlach Malachi, that he sent his malach, and Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson from being slapped on the mouth and corrected himself and no longer was calling the malach Bara the king. Instead, he uses the proper word malach, v'shezib la'avdoy, and he continues that he saved his servants, actually says in the pasuk, yisruchitzu alohi, because they trusted in Hashem and were willing to go on Mesiras Nefesh. So we see that Nebuchadnezzar, in fact, having called the malach by the wrong name, now he was forced to change it and then call it by the correct term. Okay. Perek HaMatzniyah. This perek talks about the dinim of Hitzavach and many of the dinim of Hitzavach Nosav carrying on Shabbos. The Mishnah mentions a point that when a person carries, now you would think, well, a person carries something in his hand, obviously that's a normal way of carrying. What about if he carries it on his shoulder? What about if he carries it on a belt, on his waist or something? So the Mishnah describes all of those are considered regular ways of carrying, and a person would be hired for them on Shabbos because the Bnei Kohos would carry that way. Now, in the Bavli, on that Mishnah, it explains that what we mean is we're talking primarily about, for example, carrying on the shoulders, because the Bnei Kohos would carry the Kalim of the Mishkan on their shoulders. The Yerushalmi takes a different tack on it. All four of the ways that the Mishnah mentions in the right hand and left hand, around his waist or on his shoulder, Pinchas, specifically, at the very end of Parashas Bamidbar, it mentions that Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen was in charge of four things that they had to carry around from one place to another in the Midbar. It mentions over there, Shemen HaMishchuk, Teres HaSamim, or Minchas Chudas Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, the pasuk says, mentions over there the Shemen HaMishcha, the Ketores, the flour for the Menachos, whatever, different things. And so the Rishami learns that it means he carried one of them in one hand, the other in the other hand, another one suspended from his waist, and another one on his shoulder. So we see that literally all four of those are called carrying. Now, the question is, the Yerushalmi says, why? I mean, Pinchas is in charge of thousands of Levim. He couldn't delegate this to somebody. He has to carry all these four things himself. Again, the Ketores, the Shemen HaMishcha, and the oil for the Menorah, that was the other one, and the flour for the Menachas. So the Yerushalmi explains, Omer Ablevi, Steve. You know, it's like the pasuk says, "V'lova shakoyin midei vav." The kohen should put on his garments of linen, the big kahuna, the hayim es hadeshen, and take off the ashes from the mizbeach, the trumas hadeshen that you do every morning. Now the question is, why do we have to have just to clear off the ashes? We need a kohen, the big kahuna, to do it. Why not just find a janitor to do it? Elashen gdula b'palatin shel melech. There's no acting greater in the palace of the king. So therefore, the kohen himself has to be the one in this case, so to speak, to take out the trash. In the same way, then, the Yerushalmi is saying Pinchas couldn't just delegate, he couldn't just say, well, I'm in charge, I'm the one in charge of everything going on in the Mishkan, the transport of the Mishkan, I shouldn't be, it would be beneath my dignity to be carrying these things myself. No, he carried them himself, and the pasuk makes a point of saying that to show that he's not acting high and mighty in the presence of Hashem. So the author of Ein Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Chavid, points out that the next piece, which we'll learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, is in a similar vein. It also tells us that in front of Hashem, you don't say that one person is any higher than the other. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Chaf Beis Elul. The Gemara has an expression that Hashem is going to set up for the Jewish people a new David who will rule over them. The pasuk says, "Va'avdu as Hashem alakem, as David Malkam, asher okim lahem." They'll serve Hashem their God and David their king that I will set up for them. So what do you mean that I will set up? It doesn't say that I did set up, meaning in the past, that David lived in the past. Ela okim, that I will set up for them, implying that there's going to be a future David. Now, the pasuk actually says, "V'David Abdi Nasi Lahem La'olam," that David, my servant, will be their Nasi forever. So what do you mean, another David? So the Rebbe explains, Nasicha, David himself is not going to be Melech HaMashiach. It means that the neshama of David is going to be vested in Melech HaMashiach. like as similar to the way Chazal have an expression, who goyel rishon, who goyel achron. Now the goyel rishon is Moshe, the goyel achron is Mashiach. They're from different shvatim. So what does that mean? It means that the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be mislabish in the neshama of Melech HaMashiach, or Achaim HaKadosh says so. So in a similar vein, when the Gemara says that there's going to be a David Acher, means the same thing, means somebody who's going to have the neshama of David HaMelech. All right, some more halachas of before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. An oval during the 12 months should not be the shliach tzibur on Rosh Hashanah or the Baal Tekeya unless there's nobody else as good as him. As far as other relatives, if he's within Shloshim, if he already has a chazaka from previous years to daven by the Amud or to blow shofar, then listen, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur anyway cancel Gzeiras Shloshim, so then it's fine. But if he hasn't had such a chazaka and there's somebody else who's equally qualified, then it's better to be machmir. Another din as far as that, during Yemei Aslichas, even Erev Rosh Hashanah, any Ovo can be the Shliach Tzibur, not during Shiva, but he could be the Shliach Tzibur for Slichas or for the Tfilas during the rest of Shiva.